Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, and I want to thank you for starting your week off with me, especially on a Monday morning. I know sometimes those can be a little bit hectic, but we've got an incredible call for you this morning, and God's so good. He's got incredible, amazing, awesome, wonderful things in store for you today. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of the cross, who stole it, and the power of God. So let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that you've brought us to another day that we can honor, serve you, and build your kingdom. Lord, before we even get started, we do want to lift up the governor of Indiana, Lord, and his family. Lord, I just pray you will just cover them, that you will anoint them, that you will speak through their mouths, Lord, that they would not fear, that they would walk in unwavering faith and belief. Lord, I thank you that you're having him stand up and take a stand for you. Lord, I know that you always have our back. You always guide our steps. But Lord, I just pray an extra special measure of grace, love, and mercy upon this man at this time. We rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name, and we stand victorious under the blood of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would continue to strengthen him, that people would rally around him. Lord, that this would be a time of shift and change within our country, that we come back to you in the way that we know that we should. Lord, I ask that you would anoint my mouth today, that you would speak through my mouth as clay, that you would help me to decrease and you increase, Lord, and that our lives would not be the same when we get off the call today, that you would circumcise our heart, that you would unplug our ears, that you would help us to see with your eyes, and that we would be on fire and more passionate to serve you than ever before. We love you, Father God, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me tell you, there's a story that caught my attention, and it's a couple of years old, so you may have heard of this already, so it's not, you know, breaking news or anything. But one of the things that I love in Texas, especially in the area that I'm at, we've got, I'm at the base of the hill country in Texas, so it's not mountains by any means. It's kind of like rocky crags. But what I love is people have erected crosses. So as you're going through the hill country, you'll see, you know, 6 foot, 20 foot, 2 and 3 story size crosses just out in the middle of the field and on the tops of hills. And it just reminds me that God has set apart this land for him. He has set apart the earth for him. He's set us apart to serve him. And I love the fact that we can see these crosses. But there in the Mojave Desert, there was a cross. And some World War I veterans had put that there for, I don't know, at least 75 years ago. And they put this cross up, and it was on the same kind of like a rocky hill, kind of like it is here in Texas. And I thought this was really neat because they called this Sunrise Rock, and they placed that cross there to honor the people that had died fighting for their country. And I love this because, you know, we are supposed to be soldiers, and we're supposed to be soldiers for the cross. And I love the veterans that have served our country and just been such honorable men and women. So I loved seeing this, and I thought it was fascinating. But all of a sudden, after 75 years, there became a problem. People who didn't want to see the cross there argued that it was a problem, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, the justices said that it could stay, but then somebody went up and they stole the cross. Can you imagine stealing the cross? I thought this was the silliest thing. I went in. This is an aside story here, just a little break. But I went into the Detroit area. We were living in rural Michigan at the time, and we went into the Detroit area for my grandmother's funeral. And I was reading the Bible it was my brand new John Maxwell Bible, and I was reading it in the lobby. And I had sat it down, and then, you know, things happen, and you get talking, and people consoling you, and I ended up leaving my Bible there. And I went back literally literally, we drove away, went back within 5 minutes. We got right to the highway, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I forgot my Bible. We've got to go back to the levee. And someone had stolen my Bible. And I thought, how silly is that? Who would steal a Bible? And then I kind of got upset at the beginning, and I thought, well, if they needed it that bad that they would steal a Bible, I guess that it's worth it, and God will bless that. So I asked the Lord to bless them. And then I've actually had another Bible stolen. And I think, who would steal the Word of God? Who would steal the cross? This blows my mind. And as I was thinking about both of these stories, I thought, who stole the cross? Who stole the Word of God? And then I got to thinking about how many different places the cross has been stolen. The Word of God has been stolen. I see that it's missing in a lot of places. Places that matter a lot more to God than a mountainside in the desert. I know that you guys know that I'm on Trinity Broadcast Network, and I work with Christian television, and I've had my own radio program, and I think how wonderful it is, and I love watching Christian television, but how, as I watch regular television, how it's missing. The cross is gone. I love this time of year as we approach Easter, because we do hear more about biblical approaches, and we see different Bible story movies and things like that. But it's not just in the movies or in television. What about in our homes? What about in our workplaces? I'm passionate. I am on fire passionate. No, my calling in life is to encourage you to minister in the marketplace. We've given away every aspect of our marketplace. We've given it, just handed it right over to the enemy. Maybe it was forgotten or set aside, and now it's been taken, and it's been stolen. What about even in our churches? I minister in a lot of churches, and I talk to a lot of women's groups and a lot of women who are in ministry, and I talk to men's groups, and I've most recently been ministering at Teen Challenge and some different places. And I can tell you that too often I don't hear about the cross. I don't hear about the blood of Jesus. I don't hear about salvation. I hear about finances. I hear about feeling good. I don't hear those things that are so important. Sometimes I even hear about faith, but I don't hear about the Savior. Has the cross been stolen from your conversation? What about from your ministry? Hopefully not from the center of your heart. You know, I wonder who took that cross, to be really honest with you. And I'm not really sure, but I do know who stole it. I do know it because it's the same as the person or whomever you want to call that stole the cross from your heart, from your life, from your work, from your conversation, from your home, from your neighborhood, from maybe even your state. Praise God for this governor of Indiana that's passed the bill for freedom of religion. Because I agree, it is a two-way street. And I'm tired of it being that every other cockamamie crazy religion can talk and act and do what they want, but if a Christian speaks up and speaks truth, we're persecuted. Do you want to know who it is? It's found in John 10:10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose, speaking of God, is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. This was Jesus talking. Who's the thief? It's the enemy. It's Satan. His whole purpose is trying to steal, to kill, and destroy. Colossians 2:13 through 15 says you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and the authorities. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed the enemy. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. But yet, we allow the enemy to come in and to steal and to take the cross. How do we prevent this? John 12:32 tells us, those who love their life in this world are going to lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve, and this is serve me, Jesus, must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. I'm not saying that Jesus isn't in the bars. I'm not saying that Jesus isn't at the R movies, or even worse. But we've got to be where Jesus is. And we've got to stop messing around when we know better. We need to put Jesus and the cross back into our lives, into the power that comes because of it. He says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. When's the last time you had time with Jesus? When's the last time you really spent serving Jesus? When's the last time you took him to your appointment, or in the car with you, or to the dinner table, let alone going to church? When's the last time Jesus was actually in your workplace, in your conversation? When's the last time that he was a part of your team meeting, or a part of your organization? It goes on in verse 26 to say, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now, my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. This is Jesus speaking. He says, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Jesus, bring glory, or Father, bring glory to your name. This is the reason he came. It was the work at the cross and the resurrection. And then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to them. And then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, and when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Jesus is a magnificent magnet, according to the wise, wise theologian and speaker Charles Spurgeon. Jesus said he's going to draw everyone to himself. And the work that he did, Satan has been cast out, but yet we keep inviting him back into our lives by our actions, and to not have Jesus, the cross, the work that was done there, the blood of Jesus evident in our life, the salvation that he paid for. Let me ask you, what have you done with the opportunity that's been given to you to share the gospel with others, especially talking with others about the cross and salvation? Have you asked anyone in the last 24 hours, the last 72 hours, the last week, the last month, the last year, the last decade, do you know my Savior? Has the cross been stolen from your conversation, from your life, from your business, from your family, from your friendships, from your heart, from your church, from your ministry? Ministry? Of course the enemy's going to be angry. Of course the enemy's going to be all up in arms, because guess what? We already told you, Jesus shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. They're trying because they know this is all they've got. They're trying to keep everybody away from the cross, from Jesus. But we have the victory. But it's our responsibility to grow the kingdom, to use the mouth, to use the voices that God's given us. I didn't have a voice for almost a year, off and on, and I still struggle. And the enemy's trying to take my voice. I'm supposed to have surgery because of damage in my vocal cords and things. But I refuse in Jesus' name to allow that to stop me. Because you know what? Even if I don't have an audible voice, I've got fingers that can type. I've got a life that I can live. And I can write and I can type and I can share, because I know that there are people that are waiting, that are dying every day. They might still be breathing, but they're dead, just waiting for this life to pass instead of living it abundantly the way that Jesus has given it to us. Let me ask you, do you still believe there's power in the cross? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Do you want more power in your life, more power of God in your life? Listen, it says, here's the whole key right here. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. So what's your story? How are you going to take your story into the marketplace? How are you going to take your story into your life, into your family, into your business place, into the school, into your church, into the grocery store, into your neighbor's yard, into your front porch? What's your story, and how are you going to transform your world? Who are you challenging to surrender their life to Jesus? How are you living your life to show them the power of the cross? What is it going to take to ignite the fire in you and to fan those flames with passion? What is it going to really take? You know what? I want to encourage you to stop fearing that you're going to be offending others and share the hope. They're dying. Our country's dying. Your neighborhood is dying in sin. I have to share something that's on my heart, and I hope that you'll understand. I love people. I love all people, and I don't judge people. But I don't agree with the sinful behavior. I love the sinner, and I hate the sin. And I've had many family members, great friends. I've lived with people that choose to be gay. And as we were walking at the grocery store yesterday, my husband and I, our hearts were broken, because it was almost as if we were the outcasts, because we were heterosexual, and people looking at us, and I just saw the hurt among these sins. And I'm not lifting up one sin over another that, oh, well, you know, lying or whatever my sin may be is better than someone else's sin. No, sin is sin. But I also know what God did and the judgment he passed on Sodom and Gomorrah. And our country is lifting up those who choose this lifestyle and choose sin, regardless if it's being gay or it's witchcraft or whatever it is, and they're dying and going to hell, and we're letting them. Because we are afraid we might offend them. Instead of living a life, not going at them and trying to condemn them and attack them, but to show them the love of Jesus. To show them there's light, there's hope, there's love. We're to be the light. We're supposed to be the salt and the light, the hands and the feet of Jesus. And we're supposed to be the magnet of love like Jesus was. He promised that he would draw them to himself. But how can he if we don't open our mouths and we don't live a life that has any power in it? fearing that you're going to offend other people, share the hope of Jesus, share the love of Jesus with them. Aren't you thankful that someone took the time to share it with you? Stop acting like victims. Start acting like you are the victor that you are. We are victorious through Christ. Share that gift of love. The cross is a symbol. I want you to lay aside your pride and anything that can get in the way of living for Jesus. Live a crucified life. That's what it stands for. We're supposed to crucify our flesh and our life, and we're supposed to live for the Lord. I want you to think, what did he say? We're supposed to take care of his sheep. And what did he do when you were lost? He left the flock and he went and found you, the one. Who are you going out and finding that's lost? And who are you sharing Jesus and the cross with? This is why we have this life. This is why you have your business, your home, your voice. What are you doing with it? God had a plan for your life from the foundations of the earth. He tells us that in Jeremiah. He knew you'd be here today. But he doesn't want you to leave the same way. He had a plan for you, your life, your marriage, your family, your business. He had it from the foundation of creation, and he wants you to share him with other people. When's the last time you asked him what role did he want you to play? When's the last time that you said, I'm going to share Jesus with other people? He's a God that's more than enough. He's going to give you what you need in those times. And you know what? It might seem scary to share, but that's just a lie from the enemy to keep your mouth shut. Don't you want to know that somebody loves you? If I knew you were going to run across the street and you were going to be hit by a car, wouldn't you want me to say, stop and take a minute? I want to prevent an accident. I want to prevent something destructive happening in your life. I love you. I care enough about you to say something. When is it going to be your time that you're going to stand up? Let me ask you, who stole the cross in your life, in your business, in your family? Do you really want the power of God? Or do you want to remain foolish? Like those that it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it's the very power of God. Walk in the new power that you've been given today. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you loose our tongues. Give us boldness and spirit, Father God, that we speak truth and light and love and hope. Father God, enough's enough, and we're sorry, we apologize, we repent in Jesus' name for the sin that we've allowed to creep into our life, our home, our neighborhood, our county, our state, our country, our world. Lord, help us to be on fire for you. Lord, we want more of your power, and we know that we need to share your hope, your love. We're so thankful that you sent your only son to die on the cross, to win, to be victorious over the enemy, over death, over Satan, over anything destructive. That you took the time in hell for us. You paid the price for our sin and then was resurrected. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to take that same fervency and never more again allow the cross to be stolen from our lives. Help us not to be controlling or selfish, by not sharing your word. Because we're fearful or don't want to be pushy. We rebuke fear in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that are seeking reconciliation, that those that are seeking new job offers and proposals and blessing in work and in business, restoration of families and marriages, those that are suffering from addiction or have family members suffering from addiction, we rebuke it in Jesus' name, and we call forth a healed life, a repentant life, one that's serving you 100%. And Lord, I just want to lead everybody in a simple prayer that may not know you. Heavenly Father, you know, and if you don't know this and you haven't committed your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. He died for the sins I committed. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for every sin that I've ever committed. Thank you. Come into my heart. Save my life. And I declare that you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I will live for you with all of my heart until I see you face to face. Thank you for saving me. And because I've made Jesus the Lord and my Lord and my Savior, I'm bound for heaven, and God's my Father. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me and accepting me just as I am. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, I hope that you don't let the cross be stolen from your life anymore. It's time that we stand up, that we take a stand, that we take our rightful place into the positions that God has called us to, the whole reason that we were created and on this earth. And the reason why you're still breathing is so that you can share and not allow your cross to be stolen anymore. I love you, and I know God's got amazing things. I hope that you have an amazing and incredible week. I know many of you are going to have a little bit of extra time off this week because of Good Friday. I pray that you will never forget and that you will take this opportunity, the opportunity to be able, while people are thinking more about Jesus, they're thinking more about the cross and resurrection, that you take the time and you ask someone, do you know my Savior? Do you know Jesus? Can I share with you how you can have hope and love and a difference in your life? I love you, and I'll be back again with you next Monday. I'll be praying for you. If you need to have any other prayer requests, feel free to post them into The Christian Direct Seller on Facebook. I love you, and I'll be with you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye.